All right, 2 Kings chapter 4. Let's get right into it. Amen? Amen. It's good to be saved. Amen. Verse number 8 of 2 Kings chapter 4. And it fell on a day that when Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread, and she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that she came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. If we were to go on, there's more to the story, obviously, and then also later on in the chapters to follow. But I'd like to see this, what this woman sets an example. As far as I know, she's the, I don't know of any other woman in the Bible titled a great woman. And men, I think that you can say, praise God if you have a great woman. And I don't know what to tell you if you don't have a great woman. But I have a great woman. And I thank God for her. And we come here, and I would imagine that what you have, a room for a preacher in your church or a place, you term it the prophet's chamber. And I'm sure it came from this area of Scripture. And so we have a footnote, and I think it's more than a footnote. I think that when I think of this idea of hospitality, and I'm not I think in this meeting, you have a great example of hospitality, don't you, in this place? And man, I've got the best thing I got was this little cover for my toothbrush. I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that. Everywhere I go at home, I can't wait to show my wife. She'll be happy too, trust me. And so thank God for the great example that we have. And I know that as preachers, as those who minister, you're more than willing to sacrifice for God and do everything you can and suffer for the Lord, and doesn't matter what happens to you, where you got to sleep, or where you got to be. But when I became a pastor, I was able to have a privilege like none others. That's to host men of God, or to host God's people, or to be good to each other. Do you think we ought to be good to each other?
Amen.
And I understand that. In the fundamental world, it's a whole different outlook. By that, I mean the idol worship and so forth. I mean, if this great woman of Shunem was a fundamentalist, Elisha would have walked into a room full of balloons and confetti. But I don't think that's what it was. I think she set out what he needed on his journey. I don't think we ought to overlook the fact that in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul says that we ought to be given to hospitality. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Should you?
Amen.
All the other things is just as much in the Bible as anything else is in the Bible. I mean, when a pulpit committee is deciding for the a pastor for the church, and they're looking into the strong suggestions found there, and they want somebody that in verse 2 says, given to hospitality. Of all the other things, that's in there. Husband of one wife, all the things. Given to hospitality. And can I say, it's good to have that before you enter the pastorate. And it's good to have that after the pastorate. Do you think you ought to be given to hospitality? Do you think that we ought to do good, especially to those of the household of faith?
Amen.
I believe I'm in a room right now full of some good men. I think Bible believers, we're good for fighting, right? Do you think that there's some that are on their journey and they're going through a hard time? You think there's some people that might need some help?
Amen, brother. That's good.
Come on.
We ought to be given to hospitality.
Good.
In Galatians 5:13, it says, but by love, serve one another. Amen. We ought to be a servant, should we? At the end of Romans, Paul brings up Phoebe. I think that's how you say her name. Romans 16. And as we read the footnote at the end, to help, he says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Centrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succor of many, and of myself also. She has been a help. And as what was said before, she was a servant. A minister, right?
Yeah.
We ought to help one another. Instead of abuse one another. I mean, there's so much going on in this world. Can we consider the needs of our fellow brethren?
Amen.
I broke my leg last year and I was forced to depend upon the help of people. And men preach for me at during times and so forth. And God may put you in a place. But Bible believers, if anyone ought to be good to each other, it's Bible believers. I mean, this is the best crowd. Listen, I know that we're, you know, you got the toughness and you've got to stick it out. I remember when I first, when I went around a little bit with my brothers, we slept in pews for a little while. There was a church and we slept in the pews. You know, you say, well, pray, you know, at the time, yeah, it's great. But you know, when I got married, I'm not doing that. There came a point where I had to step up. Are we thinking about each other? I'm talking about behind the scenes, the things that are taboo, the things that hospitality would consider. The things that are, and I'm not talking about a mold either. I know not everyone can do what, you know, be treated necessarily like you are here. But all I'm saying is, it's the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. What can you do? What can you do? Is it something you should just... Psh? We ought to do what we can for the brethren, for the ministry. I hope you married up. I sure did, praise God. Amen. That verse in Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind.
Amen.
One to another.
Amen.
Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Does it hurt to be kind to a fellow believer? I think it's good to observe and learn some things. Hey, I can get toothbrush covers for the preachers, you know. But you say, well, look at Romans chapter 12, a couple of pages back. You say, well, that's for the preachers. Well, look at verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. That's for all of us. All of us ought to consider this idea of hospitality. There are times that I feel like I fail. But let's do what we can. John 13:35. How do you know that you're my disciples? Right?
Amen.
By the love one for another. There's so much blood and guts. I'm thankful for someone like the great woman of Shunem who had a spot for the preacher that would carry the load and let him just to have a bed to sleep in and have a place to stay. That just wasn't just something that was a leftover, but it was specially made. I'm not talking about this fundamentalist worship idol man stuff now. I'm talking about seriously trying to be a help. And that's the distinction. You see, someone said earlier about Peter, it's the same thing with Mary, where you go, in fact, the other way. And so if you're not careful, you won't preach on the character of Mary because of the Catholic Church. Just like some of you gone out of fundamentalism away from idol worship. So then you treat Bible believers And listen, I've got a sarcastic sense of humor. I had a friend one time when he came in, and the gift basket was just basket with this most sorriest looking apple in the middle of it. And it was just, you know, but we ought to do what we can to care about the brethren. I'm not talking about cookie cutter. You have to do what someone else does. Just whatever. Are you thinking about being a help? Once you have all the dispensational views down, don't miss what God has actually said about the brethren. Turn to 1 John chapter 3 and notice. In verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Amen? Look at verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren.
Amen.
Now, we've got to move beyond platitudes right now, because we'll say amen to, we'll lay down our life. How can you lay down your life for them if you can't even be kind to them? How could you lay down your life for them if you can't lay down a decent accommodation? Now, I understand, I'm not trying to be a fundamentalist here. But what I'm trying to say is, are you doing what you can for the brethren? It might not be much. It might not be. I went through a meeting one time. At the end of the meeting, I'm about to go home, and the preacher comes up to me, put his arm around me, and he says, you know, brother, is it okay if we send you your love offering? You know, we're just going through a hard time right now. And you know what I said? I said, I did what you would do. I just, okay, but you know, I thought if I ever became a pastor, I would never do that to somebody. Because I knew I didn't have money for gas to go and get home that night. Do you ever think someone else might be going through some things? Maybe count the cost before you have a meeting. Maybe consider the fact that they might be a diabetic, or they have some food issues, or they've been running ragged really hard. Wouldn't it be good maybe if you put gas in the engine, it might run really well for you? Or you just want to keep running on empty? I knew a preacher who scheduled his mission conferences around building projects so he can use the missionaries to aid in the work of his building. I had a guy, I mean, as Bible believers, one time we went down to stay, my wife was with me, and we're staying in the preacher's home, and they took us down to the basement, and we were walking through a maze of storage to where there was a bed in between the storage stacked about 5 feet high. And some of you are shaking your head, probably the same preacher, I was kidding. Listen, But I'm thinking I can do some things, but it's much more tougher for my wife, and I'm supposed to take care of my wife. I remember at this one church, and we're eating, they had a potluck, you know, everyone's having their food and everything. And, you know, I always think of Brother Peacock's tater salad analogy, but in this case, it was macaroni and cheese. We had macaroni and cheese on our plate. And this guy who had teeth missing and his son that looked like he came out of a mud fight. And he's explaining how they made the macaroni and cheese and his son was playing in it. But it was really funny. Needless to say, I didn't eat my mac and cheese on my plate that day. I mean, I honestly think that God's people ought not to have the leftovers. I mean, and it's very true, Lambert's meat's the best meat in the world, amen. I mean, we ought to be good to each other. If anyone's going to be good to each other, why not us? There's so much trouble and heartache and trials. Maybe God's prophet needs some help, needs some stirring. It encouraged him so much, he came back later in that story and said, what can I do for you, for the care that you've given to me? And so, you think of these things. I think in 2 Corinthians 8, do according in that giving to Macedonia.
give according to that which you have.
But we ought to be given to it, given to hospitality. Look at Titus chapter 1, Titus chapter 1. Talking about a bishop, verse number 7. And it says in verse number 8, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of it. Now, listen, do you believe what that's saying?
Yeah.
We ought to love hospitality. Listen, I'm not perfect, but I ought to love it. And what does it say right after that? A lover of good men. Do you have good men come in to preach? I hope you do. I don't know why else you'd call them in. Do we have any good men in here? I think there's some good, if there's any good men, you're going to find them in the pool of Bible believers. And in 2 Timothy 3, if we truly are in perilous times, as was referenced earlier, in verse number 13, it says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. That means it's going to become harder to find a good man as perilous times, as we the age of Laodicea dawns and Jesus Christ comes. Let us be good. When we find a good man, hang on to him, be a blessing to him, and encourage him. And it, you know, we see that verse in the assembly to exhort one another so much more as we see the day approaching. We ought to be a help to each other. And not just... And think about it. You know, when we come to a meeting, sometimes you just, you know, enjoy it. And praise God, enjoy it. But take notes. Oh, I saw that guy do this, and they did this, and they had this prepared, and I did this. How about take what we learn here and take it and use it at home? And it's good. It's good to be, it's easier when we're all together and high-fiving, slapping each other on the back, praise God. But when you go back home, how about you take into action what you do here and do it back home?
Yes.
Amen. And so you work about, and then protecting the preacher's time. All of these things you think about, nursery coverage, kitchen sign-up. Yeah, that's in the message. Security. Yeah. The little things that nobody sees. But it allows the meeting to go. Fellowships, counting the cost. It's an investment. The church has an investment. Your churches look at you as a pastor or as a preacher and as each other. We edify one another. In the same text we have in 1 Timothy 3, it says, not given to wine. Over in Titus 1:7, it says, not given to filthy lucre. How many times have God's people suffered because they were too tight-fisted with finances to help somebody? I'm not talking about being bad with your money, but what I am saying is don't be given to filthy lucre. In Romans, God gives them over to uncleanness or vile affections or reprobate mind. We find Athens being given over to idolatry in Acts 17. So when you're given over to something, what does that mean? You're given over to it. We ought to be given that. I mean, it ought to be quick. It ought to become natural. It's not a chore. It should not be a chore. It should not be. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, look at verse number 9. Use hospitality one to another. And what's the next two words?
Well, bless God. This preacher comes in. This is always, he always wants this and blah, 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 blah.
Man, just... We ought to love, be a lover of hospitality without grudging. Else, why are you even doing it? Why do we even do what we do if you can't love the brethren? And we ought to love each other. Amen. And thank God for good men. When I think of this, to help get back on their feet, right? Tell people to get back on their feet. And isn't that what a hospitality? The word is hospital, right? I mean, I think a church, a ministry, you have a war room side of things. You have evangelism side of things. But there's also hospitality. There's a hospital. People ought to be able to get back up on their feet, learn how to walk again, learn how to stand again. And it makes it a little easier when you have some help. And would it hurt just to maybe put a little bit more investment on something that you know will put gas in their engine? Maybe a little bit more of a blessing? Well, bless God. In 1 Peter 4, verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now we go through the stewards. When you look at the stewardships and the stewards in the Bible and all of that, and as stewards of the manifold grace of God, we got everything else done. You got all the check boxes. How are you with the brethren? I'm not talking about how you're treated. I'm talking about how you and I treat others. That's what the message is given to hospitality. And so let's be good stewards. And I was thinking about the two things as we near the end of these thoughts. And that is Fanny Crosby, who was blind. Became blind at a young age, in my understanding. And she wrote many songs for the body of Christ. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Blessed Assurance, Perfect Delight, Visions of Rapture. Now burst on my sight. Brother, I have no idea what it is to be blind. And there's Fanny Crosby, giving what she could for the body of Christ. And that's her epitaph, right? In Mark 14, it's been placed there. She hath done what she could. She did what she could. Are we doing what we can? I'm not talking about the political, what people see, or trying to have men's admiration in mind and trying to influence this person and that person and to gain. Let's not fool ourselves into thinking that politics is unaffected in the Bible-believing camp. The fact of the matter is that our motives ought to please the Lord Jesus Christ and to be a help to our other believers. I think of Fanny Crosby. And let's turn to Exodus chapter 17, and I believe I'll be nearing the conclusion of this. Have you thought about their burdens? Their need of rest. Their need of fellowship. And can I say this too? You can be, sometimes, don't make it all about you as the host. That you have to complete everything so you feel good. Oh, come and do this. Why do you want to do that, first of all? Because you want to do it? Why do you want to do this? Have you considered that the preacher might need some rest? Well, I'm going to fill these check boxes. So, yeah, we did this, and I took this to the preacher, so I can go back and talk to other preachers, and it's all, let's just love the brethren, amen? Love the brethren. In Exodus chapter 17, I'm thinking about Aaron and Hur. Here's Moses in verse number 9, said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Moses intended to stand that day. His intention was to go and to stand and raise his hand while the battle was going on. But there came a time when the old preacher's hand started to get weary. And Aaron and Hur came by to help that preacher. They brought a stone for that preacher to sit on. Look at what the text says. But Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Can I say, as the sun goes down upon Laodicea, and as evil men are waxing worse and worse, we need some, as that old military slogan, we need a few good men. We need some good Bible believers that are willing to help each other. And there's some war horses that have stood, and they've stood for the King James Bible, and they've raised their hands, but their hands are getting heavy, and they can't stand like they could, or they used to. And they're still doing what they can, but we need some Aaron and hers that are willing to take of their own practical self and energy to help the man of God, God's man, and maybe he can't stand anymore, and maybe they come back and hold up his hands and to help the preacher. So it'd be better to go out loving the brethren. If we go out, it'd be so much better. When I say go out, I mean when the rapture blows, when we go to heaven, that we're going out. And by the way, life is so much sweeter. God set it up in a way where we can love one another, encourage one another. That's what he talked about, edifying one another. The body itself, he created the body in a system that the body is made to help itself. Just like your body was created in such a way, the body of Christ has been created in a way that with the power of God, it should edify one another. And we invest in these things. And so when I think of all of the crazy things like that, or you go over someone's house, and I mean, old school was, you'd always have to stay at some member's house. Now, listen, you do what you want to do, but sometimes that can get crazy. And sometimes you got to eat the Aunt Flo's favorite dish. And then they're going to ask you what you think after you eat it. And you're going to have a response. You know, I heard a response. It said, food like that doesn't last long around our house. Now, as Bible believers, we're used to offending others and being offended. We're used to it. How about we get used to loving each other? I mean, we offend people, and I'm saying we just because I know me. I offend people by accident. I had a guy come up at the altar after a Bible conference, at the altar call. Brother Peacock got done preaching. This guy's coming down this way. He's got tears in his eyes, and he's coming towards me. So I thought, man, I'll pray with this guy. Maybe he needs to be saved or get right with God. I don't know what it is. So I step down. He comes up to me and says, brother, I just want you to know I forgive you. And I have to this day, I have no idea what he's talking about. At the judgment seat of Christ, baby. So what I did, I just prayed with him. Brother, I'm so glad we can get this right. Praise the Lord. I think with all the battle going on that we ought to take example of Fanny Crosby, that there was a great woman of Shunem. And just when someone says something about you, somebody said, or Brother Utley always says, it's not about you, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As it was said, when someone speaks ill of you,
Don't get mad. Rather, be glad, for you are much worse than he makes you out to be. Just be thankful you're not going to hell. And be thankful that we get to hang out with the best crowd until Jesus comes.